Welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast with Kerry O'Flaherty. Kerry is an Irish Olympian from Northern Ireland. Kerry is going to talk today about how she got into running, how she deals with the highs and lows of being an elite athlete. So Kerry, welcome and thanks very much for agreeing to do our wee podcast.
Thanks for having me, it's a pleasure.
Okay, Kerry, we'll get stuck straight in. Tell us, so tell us a wee bit about your background, your influence. How long have you been running, for example, or what got you into running?
Well, this will be my 27th year of running. I started when I was 13. I come from Newcastle, and we've got lots of lovely areas there to run. You've got Tullymore Forest Park, you've got Murlock Beach Reserve, you've got Castlewellan Lake. So I come from a very beautiful area where, as a child, you were very active out and about. And it was really, I got into a bit of cross-country at school, and then there was a road race in Newcastle organised by Newcastle AC, and I decided to run it. It was a 5K race for seniors, 3K for the juniors. And I just asked my dad, could I run it? And I ended up, you know, beating most of the boys. I think two boys finished ahead of me. Mm-hmm. And it was there and then that Newcastle AC, Marty McVeigh, had come over to my dad and asked, was I his daughter? And that I looked like a pretty decent runner and would I like to come and do a few sessions with the club. So it really started back then. And I've really, you know, never really looked back now.
Mm-hmm. So you are running... You start off a bit of cross country. What is your main focus now, if you will? You're still training, aren't you? You're competitive training now.
Yes, I am. My main event is the 3K steeplechase. For anybody that hasn't seen steeplechase before, it's 7.5 laps of a 400 meter track, and we hurdle over barriers. Now there are 7 barriers around. The track you know, we have to, you know, hurdle those five barriers, and there's a water jump that we have to get over as well. So it's a tough event. I got into steeplechase at the age of 30, so before that I was on an 800 meters, 1500 meters cross country. Mm-hmm. I did a bit of 5k, 10k on the road, and then I found my sweet spot, which is 3000 meters, and I took the steeplechase. So for the past mainly really a good 10 years, I've been training competitively, internationally, competing across the world. I made the World Championships in 2015 and the Olympic Games in 2016. So, you know, training has been intense over those years. I run 70 miles a week. Mm-hmm. I also put in 2 gym sessions, and training would consist of a couple of tempo-based endurance runs a week. And as we come up to track season, some track sessions, maybe 2 track sessions on the track a week. So wee bits and pieces of everything, and a bit of hurdle work as well. So training is pretty intense. Most days I'm training two runs a day, and some days I'm doing a bit of a longer run. So really I'm training every day. I don't usually have a rest day. I leave those to when I need them, and when I do feel, you know, a little bit tired. It's been pretty intense over the years, and it really sort of has been a full-time job, although I teach part-time. I do supply teaching as well. I'm a PE teacher.
Mm-hmm. Now, your greatest achievement in sport, what's that been then? You've probably got a few of them, have you?
Yeah, well, I suppose it was making the Olympic Games. But the run up to that, when I ran the qualifying standard in Letterkenny in 2015, that race really sticks out in my mind. Coming across that line and, you know, seeing the clock and realizing, but sort of still waiting for the officials to give you the official time.
Yes.
You know, and realizing, you know, I'd run the qualifying time for both the World Championships and the Olympic Games, was absolutely amazing. But, you know, the standout race was the Olympic Games, really, in Rio 2016, and, yeah, you know, coming out and really, you know, realizing that you had made it to sort of the peak of any sort of athlete sort of dreams. You know, the most athletes, you know, dream of making the Olympic Games. You know, they want to reach the top of their sport, and that is the Olympics. So really, you know, that's my sort of outstanding sort of memory and greatest achievement, really.
And you've the Olympic Games this year are in Japan, is that right? And they're still going ahead as so far, yes, and that's what you're training towards?
So far, it was supposed to be 2020 last year, and obviously with the pandemic and the coronavirus, it had to be postponed to this year. So, you know, word coming out of Japan is that it will go ahead. It will be a different type of games. You know, I doubt there'll be any open ceremony, closing ceremony. They're talking about flying athletes in just a couple of days before their race. And as soon as your race is over, or your competition is over, you're sent back home.
Right.
So at the moment, yes, I am training towards that. Fingers crossed, hopefully I get some races.
Yes.
At the moment, most of us don't know what's happening, you know, because there are travel bans and there's the uncertainty of competition at the moment. So at the moment, I'm training, and as many other athletes are, and I'm working on my endurance base and sort of keeping my endurance base ticking over. I'm not doing my fast track work yet. I'm not preparing to race yet. Until I know that there are races on the horizon. But as soon as I know, you know, I can put in, you know, 3-4 weeks of good track work to prepare me for a race.
Yeah.
So at the moment, we're protecting that endurance base, sort of everything sort of endurance focused. And then I can start bringing in the sort of the faster work and the lactic work as soon as I know how races are going to plan out, whether we can get to those. So at the moment, everything's up in the air. But the focus is still to try and make those Olympic Games, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, just reading a wee bit on the internet and all, trying to get a wee bit of information about you, you've had some injuries in the past and some setbacks. And I guess, as an elite sports lady, how do you cope with that? Or do you have any coping strategies or anything that we mere mortals can learn from the elite end?
Yeah, well, I suppose when you're putting through your body, what myself and many other athletes have put their body through over the years, you're always pushing yourself to the limit, and you're always walking that fine line of picking up an injury, picking up an illness, because, you know, your immune system's under pressure as well. So it has been tough, because there has been, for myself, you know, a lot of injuries along the years. Now and again, you've always got one wee niggle or another. It's very hard to pinpoint, a nice, clean, you know, streak of feeling great and feeling, you know, not feeling any pain and things like that. So, you know, you learn, over the years, you learn a niggle from an injury, if you want to call it that. So you learn how you can run through niggles, do the right things for them, and then the warning sign. You know the warning signs when something is really more of an injury and you have to take a step back and so on. And I have experienced some bad injuries over the years, but the worst was September 2019, when I was pushed in a race when I was hurdling over a barrier and came down and broke my fifth metatarsal. I went through two operations through that. I had a screw inserted into the foot to fix the break. And then I had that screw removed in February 2020. So they were two very tough times that I had to get through. It was the worst injury of my career. I'd never broken anything. I had a few stress fractures over the years, which it's just rest and so on. But this was something more dramatic and sort of more career threatening, I would guess, than anything I'd had before, which I knew would heal, you know. So, you know, coping with those things and coping with injuries, it is tough at the time. And I think, in a way, an athlete or anybody, you know, should give themselves that time to, if you want to call it, grieve in a way, you know, and feel sorry for yourself. You do, you go through sort of, you go through motions, you go through feeling sorry for yourself and why me, and trying to cope with that and not getting down and not feeling sorry for myself. I really think about what else is going on in the world and what else other people are trying to deal with. I know we can't sort of, you know, think about, you know, other situations and put ourselves in that same boat. But, you know, if you think about it at the moment, you know, a lot of people who are, you know, going through worse times, people mm-hmm. have lost loved ones over the past couple of years of the pandemic. And, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, waiting on surgeries and waiting on cancer treatments at the moment. And, you know, the bigger picture is, you know, when I've picked up an injury is, you know, there are people out there worse off. I can get an injury to heal, and you know, it's only a bump in the road, and mm-hmm. I'll get through it, you know. So it's sort of using strategies like that to cope, mm-hmm. and also keeping myself busy when an injury arises. You always go to your physio and say, when can I run again? When can I do a bit of exercise? When can I get on the spin bike or the cross trainer or the Ultra G running machine? Mm-hmm. And it's getting a plan in place for your rehab and your return to running if you've picked up an injury. And it's really then keeping yourself busy otherwise, you know. Obviously I had a break and I was totally laid off for a period of time where I wasn't allowed to do anything. So it was putting other things in place, making sure I had people around me to talk to. Mm-hmm. Friends and family were fantastic, but also strangers were fantastic as well. You know, the likes of social media really helped me, you know, reading people's messages and me putting my story up there and seeing that it was helping others as well who were maybe in a similar situation. Mm-hmm. I also work with a sports psychologist, Gary Longwell, from the Sports Institute NI. And he has been fantastic. When I was sort of hitting real low days where I was maybe getting a bit of rehab work done and then I'm sitting down having my lunch and then the day would just tick by and I would feel bad in a way that I'd not got anything done and I felt, you know, gosh, I've wasted the day because I've just sat here. But at the time, I couldn't get myself up out of the chair. I was thinking, I got into a real sort of, you know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't quite call it depression, but you know, it was hard mentally for me to see the light at the end of the tunnel for this injury, and it really helped me phone in Gary and speaking to him about it and having somebody from the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. And a coping strategy that he gave me to use was to write a list, and I guess that's something we did years ago. We took out a notepad and pen and we wrote a wee list and you know, we ticked things off, and that's what he got me to do. He got me to pick about 5 targets for the day, and you know, they were to be realistic targets, and they could be anything like you know, tidying the house or mm-hmm. you know, putting the washing on or repotting plants or walking the dogs, you know, just small things. Mm-hmm. And as I went through the day, I'd tick those off, and if I didn't get something done, then I would write down why I didn't get it done, and then the next call I would have with him, we would discuss, you know, maybe I ran out of time or maybe I was feeling low. Mm-hmm. And then he would then talk me through it and say, well, you know, how are you feeling, and so on. And that sort of really helped me, I wouldn't say snap out of it, but sort of come round to not feeling so low and trying to get things done. And as I got more things done, then I realised, you know, keeping myself busy was something that really worked. Mm-hmm. And got me through the injury and got me through those extra hours and things. So it was really good having somebody, you know, from the outside there sort of looking in at everything and talking to them rather than, you know, friends and family were brilliant chatting to them as well. But, you know, really talking to a stranger or I knew Gary, but, you know, somebody that wasn't in my training bubble or family bubble. Mm-hmm. Somebody that gave me different sort of coping strategies and things, and give me some other ideas. And you know, we both of us sat down and actually sort of planned out the scenarios. Well, you know, here's the scenarios. Okay, if you don't get to return to run properly and the running career is over, where does Kerry go there? You know, who is Kerry and what is Kerry and what does Kerry do outside of running? You know, and we talked about, you know, the teaching that I do and the supply teaching and maybe looking for another teaching job. And then we talked about other things that I would like to do on down the line. And you know, and then we talked about the scenario of, you know, if it took me longer to get back, and then the scenario of getting back and making the Olympics and so on. So, you know, I guess it's sort of having that A, B and C plan in place too.
Brilliant.
But, you know, I find that, you know, very helpful. But yeah, all these wee different things, you know, even sort of this weekend coming, like I've signed up, I don't know if very many people have, to the Big Garden Birdwatch.
Okay.
You know, I've not really been into birds, but I know, you know, sitting here, you know, when I was injured and stuff, you know, I'd look out and I'd be seeing different birds in the garden and things. So I've got a wee bird feeder all popped up and everything, and you know, that's something that's sort of therapeutic, and it's, you know, it's been great. You know, my dogs have also been great as well, you know, being able to take them out for walks when I was sort of getting back to learning to walk again, and then sort of progressing from walk to jog to run. It was great sort of having the company there. And then when I finally got back running, you know, having my training partners around me was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to go out and run with somebody and have a chat, because that in itself is like, you know, free counseling when you get out on the open road and you're just churning through the miles and you're just having a chat about everything going on in your life.
That's it. You're
talking to people and, you know, keeping busy and having other things around you and, you know, picking up wee different hobbies and stuff like that you've maybe not done before. It's been great.
Well, I know now we're moving on. Flip me, look at that. We're nearly 20 minutes gone already. I guess probably the final question is downtime. You talked, I just picked up on dogs. You've got a couple of dogs. So how do you sort of fill your downtime?
Yeah, well, I've got two whippets, and they obviously need their walks as well, although a lot of the time they'll come on a wee short recovery run with me.
Yes.
So, yeah, downtime's great. Like today, I've got my training session done. I've had a sports massage, which is a bit of downtime and recovery for me as well, you know, basically looking after the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I'll take the dogs out for a walk, and, you know, that'll be nice. It'll be, you know, in a way, therapeutic as well.
Mm-hmm.
I also breed alpacas. In 2017, I got two alpacas, and then I introduced a male stud, and we've been breeding alpacas here at the house. So looking after them on the side is great fun and a distraction away from the running. And I love being out in the garden and, you know, sorting their hay out and, you know, shoveling their pips up and getting all the sort of...
I'm trying, you know, to figure out now, an alpaca, is that South American?
It's like a llama, yes. They're originally from Peru. They're like llamas, but they're a little bit shorter, and they're just slightly different. But they're pretty similar to a llama.
Right. Are they friendly?
They are. They're very friendly. They're very therapeutic as well. They've been known to be, you know, used... For people who are maybe suffering depression or anxiety, they're used a lot with children who have autism. They would even bring them into, I know in England they've brought some of them into old people's homes as well.
Yeah.
They've got a real sort of calming sense about them, and they communicate with each other by humming. So I'm just sitting looking at them here. They're all eating their fresh hay. So I would sit here with a cup of coffee some days, and they're all sitting there eating their hay, and they would hum at each other, and it's just so lovely listening to them.
Right.
But yeah, so they're the retirement fund, I would say. You know, when the international running has stopped, and maybe teaching and stuff, I'd like to put kids alpaca parties in place when we can do so, you know.
Right.
after COVID, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I'd like to do down the line. But yeah, I just, you know, the animals have sort of been my therapy, in between the runs, mm-hmm. and so on.
And are your alpacas, are they pets?
They are, yes.
They're pets.
Yes,
okay.
They are pets. Yeah, we bought two females, and we have a stud as well, and there's three babies there. So, I have six altogether at the moment, and probably look to selling on the males. Because I can't keep all the males.
Right. So it sounds like a bit of a farm now. We're moving into farming.
I know. Well, yeah. I suppose, my partner Richard always says, "Well, you'd just love to be a farmer, wouldn't you?" I've got two wee pygmy goats as well. It all started off with the pygmy goats. My friends bought me my first pygmy goat for my 30th birthday, and then he was a bit lonely, so I had to get him a friend. Yeah. So we started off with those two.
Very good. Very good. Well, Carrie, it was a pleasure, and thank you for agreeing to do our wee podcast. That was absolutely brilliant. That's it, Brent. I think we're happy enough. Yep, that's perfect. Yep.